Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
His name is Esteban Santiago. He was carrying a military ID. We don't know if that's active, if that's another family member's ID. We'll have to determine that. And of course, we don't know a motive at this point. But you've heard the reports that from the eyewitnesses, when he finished three magazines, he just sat down, and then the law enforcement apprehended him.
And so the feeling right now is that it was totally random?
Well, we don't know. This could well be someone who is mentally deranged, or in fact, it could be someone who had a much more sinister motive that we have to worry about every day, and that is terrorism. But we can't conclude that.
Do we know age or ethnicity at this point?
No, that's being reported over the network, so get that right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Senator Bill Nelson of Florida on the Savage Nation and to the nation and the world. Senator Nelson reported that Mr. Santiago had military ID and a handgun with him when he shot up people in the baggage claim area, killing what we are hearing is five and injuring eight or nine. It'll be higher, I am sure. Pete Williams of NBC News is reporting that the shooter was from New Jersey and he had recently spent time in Alaska. We cannot put any conclusions together. Can we come to a conclusion on this? What is it? What was your first instinct when you heard about a shooting in Fort Lauderdale in the baggage claim area? You know what your first thought of. You don't even have to say it. Your mind immediately said Muslim and terrorist. Is that right? Well, it doesn't mean you're a racist, because it would be a logical thing to conclude, given that there have been so many attacks by radical Islamists around the world and in America under Obama and under our current Director of Homeland Security. That would be a logical conclusion. However, it would have been a false one. Because, in fact, the shooter's name is Esteban Santiago. Now, what does that tell you? We don't know what it tells us. Maybe he's just a nut. Military ID from New Jersey. He had spent time in Alaska. What steps should airports now take to prevent shootings like this in the future? What Santiago, if that's his real name, has shown us in the world is that the most vulnerable place in airports happens to be the baggage claim areas. You know, you could walk in from the outside and greet arriving relatives or guests, right? And walk right up to the corrals. There's absolutely no security in the baggage claim area, so this was a blank spot. What is this going to mean now for the incoming Trump administration? Metal detectors now at the baggage claim area? TSA people, as you get your bag, do you know what this is going to do to flying in America? What happened on 9/11 was bad enough. We became prisoners in our own nation. Well, I'm telling you, but the cells just got thicker. What steps should airports take to prevent shootings like this in the future? How else do you think air travel is going to become even more restrictive? Now, the first question to you on the Savage Nation is, what do you think will be the first reaction by Democrats? I can tell you what it is without you even saying it. Before the words even leave your lips, Nancy Pelosi will be out there with the cuckoo clock at her side calling for gun control. The question is that the correct answer? Of course it isn't. Well, wait a minute now. Where did he get the gun from? Well, he's in Florida. I guess anyone could have a gun in Florida. Why did he do this? Is he just a nut job? What were the meds? Is there a medication issue here? How many years have I told you that the real issue in America, the hidden issue, is the overuse of prescription drugs for depression and like illnesses? And these types of homicides, these mass homicides or even individual homicides as a result of the overuse or even the occasional use of antidepressants, is a largely unreported issue that is not being discussed in the United States of America, but I'm sure that's not what's on your mind. The phone number here is 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Again, the shooter at the Fort Lauderdale Airport, his name is Esteban Santiago. I think that's pretty much confirmed. It is not a false ID from a Middle Eastern terrorist. You know, first people were saying, is that real? Did he steal the ID from someone in the military? Well, thus far, we think it's real. As I said to you, Pete Williams of NBC News is reporting he has a military ID from New Jersey, and he had recently spent time in Alaska. Now, I, of course, I'm asking you, the listener of the Savage Nation, to respond to this shooting in your own way. There are many things you probably want to sound off on, and since this is a talk show, go ahead and talk. Make my day. We have Frank from WBOB in Jacksonville. Frank, you're the first up today on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind after this shooting in Fort Lauderdale?
Well, I've been watching this shooting since 1 p.m., and I think it's now high time that it becomes a reality in America that Americans can carry legally weapons wherever they go. We're all soft targets, supermarkets, churches, schools, airports, wherever we go, you know, a concert, we're all soft targets. We've got to wake up and realize that we have the wherewithal to protect ourselves.
So this is a very interesting call, Frank. You have the opposite opinion of than that of Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat gun grabbers. You're saying if you had been in that baggage claim area and you had a gun, you would have gotten into a gunfight with this maniac?
I wouldn't have gotten into a gunfight with him. I knew I would be in a position to protect myself and those around me if he came within range. I'm not going to be Rambo, you know, but I'm going to have something on me to protect myself. I should legally.
No, I'm not turning this into a clown show, because I've thought about this for a very long time in my own life and have taken the steps to enact the protection of myself and my family going back to 1982. So I understand where you're coming from. I've always thought that in a church or synagogue, you're more vulnerable than anywhere, by the way. And I've always felt that churchgoers and synagogue-goers should all have the right to bear arms and to be protected, because it's only a matter of a chance occurrence that someone kicks in the door of that church or synagogue and takes it over. Okay? I mean, that's the fact of reality. And, of course, you want the ability to protect yourself, and I understand what you're saying. Now, of course, the counterclaim would be, if you started firing back, you could kill innocent bystanders when you start shooting around in a baggage claim area, right?
Oh, I'm not going to start shooting randomly in a crowded place. I'm going to be in a position where if I see a gunman coming at me and he comes within range where I can shoot him, I will. And I've taken steps myself legally, a bearer of arms. But the problem is, you can carry a legal weapon, but there's so many ifs and ands and buts and gray areas about where you can, when you can't carry it, you know.
Well, here's a witness coming up right now who said he did not say a word. He described the shooter as a slender man with dark hair, likely in his 30s, wearing a Star Wars T-shirt. Can you believe this?
Well,
so, in your opinion, as a man who is vigilant, I can hear what you're saying, that you are a vigilant man. What would you make of this shooting? What is this about?
I think it's about waking up, arousing the sleeping tiger. And the tiger is our ability to protect ourselves. The tiger is our constitution.
No. I guess what I'm asking you is, why do you think this Esteban Santiago did this?
Who knows? The guy may be mentally, deficient. He may be part of some sort of terrorist. He may be a lone gunner. That doesn't matter. The thing that matters is that he gunned down and murdered innocent people who were standing there as soft targets. No one was able to protect themselves.
All right, so your main point is very clear. You want conceal and carry laws in every state of the union. You want everyone who is able to carry a weapon to defend himself or herself and or their loved ones. Isn't that what you're saying?
Right. As long as you're not a criminal, as long as you don't have some sort of police record, you're not insane, you know, whatever it is. As long as you're...
Well, that would eliminate anyone who voted for Hillary. I mean, I'm sorry, you're eliminating millions of people right there. They wouldn't be able to carry guns.
Oh, Nancy Pelosi.
Well, I'm sure she doesn't need them. She has Secret Service, so she can take your gun away. All right, this is not a laughing matter, but Bob, Frank, that was a fabulous phone call. It's not what I expected. For the first call on the shooting today, that is still ongoing. Now, there was short. There was just a report 10 minutes ago or 15 minutes ago of a second shooting at another baggage claim area. I don't know if that's a false one or a real one, but we do know that everyone's flying life just changed. It just changed forever. Just as 9/11 changed our lives forever, this attack on the soft area of the baggage claim area has just changed our flying life again. You understand what I'm saying? Robert, on KSFO Line 3, sound off on this terrible situation. TSA reports possible second active shooter at Fort Lauderdale Airport. I think that's still going on. But what's your call about, my friend?
Dr. Savage, it's not confirmed that the gentleman is a contracted member of the United States Armed Forces. He may be a dependent. There are different colors of identification cards. And it's important to understand that he may be not a member that's actually contracted to serve. He may be a partner or a spouse of a contracted member or otherwise.
Oh, so are you saying that a spouse of a military member gets military ID?
Absolutely. You have to be able to get on and off the base, and you are issued an ID card that says,
oh my goodness,
States Armed Forces.
Oh. See, I didn't know that. I'll be very, very honest with my audience. I didn't know that. So we really don't know whether he's active military or even if he was ever in the military, right?
Well, you know, you can also get a reserve identification card if you are mustered out with an appropriate level of disability. So it's possible that at a young age that he is, sounds like he's in his 30s, he could still be connected with the military with a military ID card, but he's been mustered out as if he was retired. So retirees have cards showing that they're still members of the and subject to the UCMJ. Dependents have cards, and then contracted members have cards as well.
I hear you. Well, we have an update right now, and I can't read it. I'll read it the minute I come back on the program. I'm watching. I have four people searching for the latest breaks from every service in the world. You're all watching television. If you're home, you're listening to the Savage Nation. I'm talking with you live from San Francisco on this national radio program, and we do know only a few things. His name is Esteban Santiago. Well, that's what we think it is. And he was reportedly carrying military ID. But the odd part here is that after he emptied his magazines, he lay on the ground spread-eagled, and he surrendered to police. What was that about?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Now, more of the Savage Nation on Talk Radio 560, KSFO.
It is the Savage Nation. Of course, everyone's talking about this shooting at the Fort Lauderdale Airport. We still don't know for sure whether there's a second shooting in yet another baggage claim area. There's odd things about the first one. I mean, we know the man's name. That so far, it's Esteban Santiago. We know he's about a young man. He had military ID and a handgun, and he just went and started shooting randomly. He killed five, and he's wounded 13 now. It'll go up, no doubt. 13 injured, that's probably a low number. That's the initial number. There are probably people who had follow-up illnesses, such as a heart attack from what happened. Now, the questions are more numerous than any of the answers, obviously. If the man was, if the man actually did this, if he actually did this, and I have no way to confirm or deny that he actually did it, and meaning that his name is actually Esteban Santiago. We know the man who did the shooting gave up after doing the shooting, threw himself on the floor. And he had ID, and his ID said Esteban Santiago. How do we know if that's actually him? I mean, there is a possibility, and I'll put it out there, that Let's just throw it out there. He could have been a Middle Eastern terrorist who shaved his beard, stole the ID, and did the shooting, couldn't it? What's the difference whether he is or is not from the Middle East? It's still an act of terror, is it not? Now, you know, could Homeland Security have stopped it? No. We can't blame Obama for this one. We can't blame Jay Johnson for this one. They have enough blame, you know, on their conscience, if they have one. But the question is, how does that change your life? Because you know and I know this is the weak point in every airport. You've known it for a long time. You know, you talk about baggage claim areas. Let's go into something as mundane as the fact that you can collect your baggage and steal a bag or have your bag stolen without anyone checking whether the bags you were taking off those rotating corrals are actually yours. Am I right or wrong? Remember in the old days of airports, before you left a baggage claim area with bags in your hand, you had to show a tag that matched the luggage. I remember the days. And then all of a sudden, I guess they didn't have the manpower for it. You can go in there. There are whole armies of people who rob bags out of baggage claim areas. Any expensive-looking bag, they walk off with it. Okay, so that's, you know, not that important. I get it. But this is going to change things, and TSA is now going to have to consider changing things at the baggage claim area. Now, look, before we go to your calls and a break, I have to tell you about a phenomenal product. And you may say, well, what does it have to do with what we're talking about? Well, it has to do with thicker, fuller, and healthier hair without the long wait. And they're a great advertiser. It's called Provia Super Concentrate from Chamonix. It was created with you in mind. It's a tiny bottle. It packs four times the power of Provia's key ingredient for faster and more visible results. Here's a listener, Dorothea from Delaware, who says, I love Provia. She says she was self-conscious about her hair, so she bought even several wigs. Forever cleaning hair out of the shower, the sink, and off of her pillow. Not a problem for her anymore. So you're only one phone call or click away from stronger, fuller, younger-looking hair. I want you to say goodbye to wasting your hair in the brush, in the sink, or on the pillow. I want you to try Provia free now, and you're going to get the Super Concentrate absolutely free with your order. Write it down, 800-543-5830. Write it down, 800-543-5830. It works or you get your money back. It's a limited offer. You call 800-543-5830 now. Did you get it? 800-543-5830. When I come back, more about the shooting at the Fort Lauderdale Airport.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You're listening to Michael Savage and the Savage Nation on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We have another piece of information that I do not see anywhere right now. I was searching every website, three people scouring. We just got a report from Twitter that Broward County Commissioner Chip LaMarca reports that the shooter was an Air Canada passenger who took the gun from his own luggage, loaded in the bathroom, and came out shooting. Again, I will repeat, Broward County Commissioner Chip LaMarca reports that the shooter at the Fort Lauderdale Airport was an Air Canada passenger who took his gun from luggage, loaded it in the bathroom, and came out shooting. This is getting crazier by the minute, frankly. One thing is coming clear. The TSA is a waste of money. Maybe Trump ought to eliminate the TSA altogether. Maybe just eliminate the TSA. They're capable of doing nothing. We may not have the right information here. But I can guarantee you as I stand here that the people in the scanner business are fighting right now to get in to see Trump to sell scanners at airport entrances in the wake of this. That's what's coming next. I can't confirm whether that's true, that he was an Air Canada passenger who took his gun from the luggage. Robert's shaking. Now Fox is reporting it. All right, so I was ahead of Fox News. Good, okay. Great. I'll get a badge and a halo now. There's a number of people dead, many, many injured. There's going to be a lot more injured. What's odd about this one to me is that he gave up the minute he emptied his magazines. That's not the usual course of events. generally in these kinds of situations, what I've seen, what have you seen? They either run away, right, and disappear, or they get into a shootout with the police to get killed. What was this about? We know one thing for sure. It was a terrorist attack at another airport, period, end of story. Something's bizarre here. And I don't think he was deranged. A deranged man wouldn't just lay down after shooting, emptying his gun. I don't know. I don't have an answer to this. We know that the TSA failed us again. We know Homeland Security failed us again. That's all we know. That's all we know. We have another, more knowledge about what didn't work rather than what did work. John on WABC in New York. Go ahead, make your point.
Hi, Savage. Hi, Michael. I consider this a terrorist attack because what makes it a terrorist attack is when you shoot people at random. Okay? He then sits down after he finishes unloading his three magazines. That's telling you that he doesn't mind going to jail. What we have.
Wait, hold it. It tells you what?
It tells you that he sits down after he wants to unload his three magazines. It tells you that he doesn't mind going to jail. Because usually, if you're going to do a shooting like that, you're going to go with enough ammo so that you could get into a fight with the police.
I just said that. I said normally they get into a fight with the police and get killed, or they run away and they disappear, as happened recently in Europe.
Right. So
why do you think he did this, if you want to just grasp at straws here?
I'm just taking a guess that I know he has a Spanish name, that we're suspecting he has a Spanish name. That doesn't rule out that he's not a jihadist. Okay? So what we got to do in this...
It doesn't rule out anything because we don't know if that's actually his ID.
Right.
You know, we don't know who he is. Unless they do fingerprints and whatever else, DNA test on him, they may not know who this guy really is. It's easy to get someone's ID. You could be anybody. He could be an Irish. He could be an Irish priest from Oregon, for all we know. All right. Well, look, we're all speculating, but that's what we're doing because we're all nervous. There's so many other stories that are crazy that I don't even. I'm reluctant to even report on them. You want to hear a few other crazy little stories? I found it on the Drudge Report. I couldn't believe this story. It's something. It's not obscure. Convicted killer becomes first inmate to receive state-funded sex reassignment surgery. California, the craziest state in the history of the world, perhaps in the entire universe. If they invent a telescope that could find a galaxy that we can't even see today, they could never find a state in a galaxy that we've not yet seen that's crazier than that run by Jerry Moonbeam Brown. A 57-year-old convicted murderer on death row who'd been living as a woman in San Quentin, was the first U.S. inmate to receive state-funded sex reassignment surgery. The state paid for it. This case prompted a federal magistrate to require California to provide transgender female inmates housed in men's facilities with more female-oriented items, such as nightgowns, scarves, and necklaces. Quinn will now be transferred to a woman's prison. Do I have to ask you if this is insanity? Do I have to ask you if Trump needs to clean this country up with a fire hose? From the federal to the state house, he has to clean this nation up. He has to start by cleaning the sewer pipe of Hollywood. It needs to be cleansed with hydrochloric acid. The sewer pipe of Hollywood must be purged and cleansed of the filth and the garbage that is being pumped into the minds of the world. That's the starter, because that's where the ideas begin. They take the sickest minds of our generation, they put them on drugs in a motel in Palm Springs for 3 days, and then they tell them to come up with the craziest ideas they can think of, and they put them into scripts for your children to watch. And then you wonder why the idiots in the state of California will vote for a man on death row, convicted murderer, to spend state money, a state that is bankrupt, on sex reassignment surgery. What a shame, Jerry Brown. What a shame this is for you. This is not an example of compassion. This is an example of stupidity. Well, there are other stories as well, and I want to get to them, but this shooting in Fort Lauderdale has all of us on edge. What do you think is the solution to a problem like this? You know what's coming. They're going to put scanners at airport entrances. They're going to put scanners at airport entrances. They're going to put them everywhere now. Who's in the business? Go invest in a scanner company. I'll look one up for you. Go look for a scanner company. The stock will go up tomorrow. Go find one for me, Robert. I'll invest during the break. Because that's what's coming. Departure terminal, arrival terminal, baggage terminal. Okay, we need to invest in some of those companies. I guarantee you Goldman Sachs could advise me. Anyone know a good scanner company? I'll have my assistant invest for me during the break. I wonder if Obama put some money into it during the break. Because he's busy now rewriting his legacy and building a wall around his new mansion in Georgetown. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-728. Dude, this just came up on the second shooter. There is none. From Fox News on Twitter, Broward County Sheriff Scott J. Israel says, at this point, it looks as though he acted alone. At this point, there's no second shooter. So, okay, that was a scare. It's understandable. What would you do if you were there in a pair of shorts and you just got into Fort Lauderdale and you were getting your bags and all of a sudden people are laying there with their heads blown off? You'd be scared too. Okay? But the first thing you thought of it was a Muslim. I mean, let's be clear. The first thought it was an Allah Akbar job. That's immediately what went through your mind. Does that make you a racist? Maybe you should be, I think maybe you should check yourself into a, I don't know, maybe some kind of a treatment program for racism. You should go apologize for even thinking it. Report to the nearest Democrat field office that the first thought you had was that it was a Muslim. WSBA in Pennsylvania, JT, line two. What do you have to say?
Dr. Savage, thanks for taking my call. I agree with what you said. Right when I heard that it happened, I drew a picture in my head, and it wasn't that of a white or a black man. So, and I'm not racist.
All right, but so why did you think that the first thought you had, why do you think your first thought was that of a Middle Easterner?
Just because it's what they do.
Okay. Okay, deplorable. Thank you for the thought. Now you know why Hillary was afraid of these people from Pennsylvania. They think like this. They speak like this. They talk like this. And they're not wrong. Yeah. I mean, you look at Europe. That's what they do. That's all. It's what they do in Europe. That's all. That's as simple as that. So people don't know what to make of it. You don't know what to make of it. What do we need? More guns? Should people have guns? How would a gun, carrying a gun, have helped you? Let's be clear for a minute. I'm a gun owner. I have been since I'm legally allowed to carry a gun. I've always been obsessed with guns. Even when I lived in New York, which was a gun-free city as a boy, there was the Sullivan Law. And I knew that if you were found with a gun, you go to jail. Now, it's a funny thing. As I got older, I studied the Sullivan Law. I thought it was a good law. I had no idea what it was. The Sullivan Law was passed by a politician named Sullivan, who was the most corrupt politician in New York at that time, and he passed it specifically to protect him and his goon squads, who were out killing people mercilessly. He didn't want the citizens to be able to defend themselves, so he seized their guns with the Sullivan Law. That's the strange part of the truth of the matter. That's what the Sullivan Law was, but I didn't know that. To me, Sullivan was Ed Sullivan. He was on a television show, so all Sullivans were good to me. So I figured it was a good law. You weren't allowed to have a gun, but I always wanted to have a gun. And the first thing I did when I got to California was get myself a gun. In fact, Eric, I'm just telling you a gun story. The first gun I ever bought was when I went out west in 1968 on a trip, a car trip. I don't know. I flew out and drove back. I don't remember. I bought an Arctic Mauser, a rifle, legally in a gun store in San Francisco. I had the gun until very recently. I still have it somewhere in a safe. I love that gun. I possessed it for a very long period of time. It was with looser tolerances in the action, which means it was made to shoot in the snow and ice. It didn't freeze up quite as quickly, but I prized that weapon. You know, then when it was allowed, I bought handguns here. I've always had in Florida, in my house, I'm allowed to have handguns. I have handguns. Here I have handguns. There's more to the gun story. So what is it? I sit there waiting for someone to shoot? No, I don't live that way. I don't walk around waiting to shoot somebody. Those of you who are gunophobic, you have to understand that it's your phobia, it's not our phobia. There are tens of millions of people who are capable of owning weapons and they don't shoot themselves, they don't shoot their family members. You probably, who are afraid of guns, shouldn't own one. If you're a typical New York liberal, you should not own a gun. There's no question you might harm yourself. Even by accident, the gun could go off. In your mind, the gun can shoot you. You think that a gun shoots itself. You're so afraid of guns, you're afraid that if you had it in the bedroom, it would shoot through the dresser and kill you. All right, I'm just pulling your leg, but you are basically afraid of guns because you're unstable, basically. And you know that you have it, you can get upset, your meds could go down. All right, so don't get a gun, but don't tell us we shouldn't have one. I don't want to turn this into a gun show, but we could. This is a very disturbing incident, and it is worthy of discussion, especially with the legalization of marijuana. I think we really have to look more carefully at gun laws. I think that anyone who uses marijuana should be prohibited from owning a gun. You want me to add that to the little discussion? I'll add it to the discussion. Say, oh, how dare you pick on us potheads. It's perfectly harmless. No, it is not harmless. It deranges you. It's the most dangerous drug on the planet. And if you are a known user of medical marijuana, you should not be allowed to use, you should not be able to have a gun. Ever. Period. Because your judgment is altered by the active components of marijuana in whatever form it is ingested. And you should not be able to have a gun. You should lose your ability to carry, conceal and carry, or carry at all. Period. That's my feeling. I say, well, why should you say a thing like that? Well, I'll give you an example. Let's say you have the right to carry a weapon with a conceal and carry weapons permit, which is very difficult to get in California. Lots of testing. Lots of background checks. If you are caught with that gun in your possession, with so much as one drink in your system, you lose that right to that weapon permit. Did you know that? I don't know if you know that. The same should apply to marijuana. Currently, it does not. I would like to see marijuana added to those restrictions with regard to gun ownership, since we're talking about a shooting in Fort Lauderdale, and we're talking about guns, and people are saying conceal and carry might have helped, which, by the way, I disagree with. Here's the problem with this. I'm running short of time, but I got to say this. Okay, many of us believe that if we had a gun, we would use the gun in a situation like that. You're wrong. Most ordinary people with a gun would panic, number one. At the time of a shooting, you're not going to be John Wayne. You're not going to stand up, take aim, and fire at him and be a hero. That's number one. You're going to probably lose your lunch in your pants and be scared to death. So stop already playing Rambo. You're not going to do it, number one. Number two, you might be more dangerous than the shooter if you try to pull a gun out. So, let's be careful here. If you're a trained officer, they have the instincts. Ex-military who've been in combat, they have the instincts. Weapons trainers, they have the instincts. The average person doesn't. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Now back to Michael Savage on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Well, I'm waiting for a speech from Nancy Pelosi saying that the Russians did it. That's what I'm waiting for. It seems Russia did everything wrong, according to the Dems. That's the new party line. Wherever there's a problem, Russia did it. So I'm sure that the Democrat Party is now searching for a connection to Putin with regard to this airport shooting. We'll have to stand by for that discovery. But on a more serious note, we have dead people. 5, 6 killed, 13, 15 injured. We don't know what the numbers are. But the odd part here is that the shooter just gave up and threw himself on the ground afterwards. That doesn't match any of the profiles of any of the mass shootings I have seen. Have you seen any shootings that were like that, where they just give up? He came from Canada, 26-year-old male, born in New Jersey, was in Canada, way back from Alaska, gets his luggage, has a gun in the luggage, loads it in the bathroom and comes out shooting, then gives up. Why? Gunman came off Canadian flight, gun checked and bagged. Okay. What's that about? Canada has about the worst gun laws in the whole world. How did he get a gun there? Now, he's being called Esteban Santiago. He is thought to have been a passenger on a flight from Canada that landed at Fort Lauderdale around noon. He is believed to have gone into the bathroom and loaded the weapon. He was carrying some form of ID. He is thought of being a former U.S. Army soldier, thought of. But we don't know anything more about it. This whole thing, I think, is a developing story in the sense that we don't even know if that's his name. We don't know if he stole his ID. We don't know where he's from or who he is. We'll continue to follow this in the next hour on the Savage Nation, as well as a surprise guest from the inauguration.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Thank you for listening to the show on Really Big Something Channel.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I ran all the way to
nothing to do with anything. Just trying to get my mind off the horrors of the world that I live in. So playing some music from the 50s. You know, there's always been sadistic people. There always will be sadistic people. There's always been stupid people and bright people and good people and kind people. But we've never had a situation where we have such a situation, the situation of today, where the stupidity and evil has risen to the highest levels of government. And even in the face of the liberal Associated Press describing the event as hate crime against the four black suspects accused in the beating and torture of a white man, which was streamed live on Facebook for the world to see, that you have a man who has for a number of years been the spokesmouth for the President of the United States of America getting up there and saying, when he's asked by a reporter, this guy Josh DeCernest, if this rose to the level of a hate crime. Well, listen to what he has to say. I mean, he's fit only for television. Listen to this.
Would this rise to the level of a hate crime, in your opinion?
I think it's too early to tell. I certainly don't want to predict where the investigation
will lead. All right, let's stop right there. He's no different than Jake Tapper or Wolf Blitzer or any of the people on the mainstream media. They're all the same. What about your local news? You want to talk about news for a minute? How many years have you given up on watching local news? The guys with the pancake makeup, the girls, you know. You see these trucks in San Francisco from the local television stations, for example. These million-dollar trucks with the cable, with the satellite dish, right? When have they last reported news? I don't know. No one watches them anymore. Maybe you'll watch a local channel for weather, or you'll offer traffic, or a sporting event, or a sitcom. I mean, no one turns to these places for serious news reporting or for serious discussion. Why? Take a look at who's disseminating the false narrative every day. When you have a donut hole like Josh DeCernest, who stood there in the White House for all these years lying for Obama's mistakes and travesties, and now gets up after it's been already recorded as a hate crime, saying it's too early to tell, what does that tell you about Obama and what you've lived through? So now let's move on. If you want to talk about it, I don't know what you could add. Man forced to say F Donald Trump, F white people. Man made to drink from a dirty toilet bowl. Tortured in Chicago. CNN's Don Lemon says, I don't think it was evil, and he's not fired by Jeff Zucker, whoever runs CNN. I don't even know who runs it. White House says it's too early to tell if it's a hate crime. The whole world sees him drinking out of a dirty toilet bowl. Then you look and you say, how could they take this fool, Tucker Carlson, how could they take a man like that and put him into her slot on Fox News? How? Because he is another one of the crypto foolish conservatives, a fake conservative, in other words, a faux conservative. and he's a liberal who bashed Donald Trump for months and months and months, and then only recently suddenly discovered he loved Donald Trump. Why would Murdoch put him into her position? Why would he do this? For months, this bow-tied clown, Tucker Carlson, hated Donald Trump. Hated him. And now all of a sudden he loves him. So again, he's perfect for Fox News. Because Fox News, as you well know, is no longer the Fox News that it was. So what does that tell you? It tells you the media is not to be trusted, that's all, except me. The only one you can trust in the media is myself, and that's it. Everyone else has to fight for themselves. Let them fight to gain your trust, as I have for these 22 years. So I'm not changing. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to pretend that I was against Trump before I was for Trump. I was for Trump for many, many years. Everyone knows that. But there are people in the media who called him every name under the sun and insulted you for years. For months, one of the main mouthpieces in talk radio called you Trumpers, Trumpeteers, Trumpets, Trumpsters, mocked you, and then all of a sudden, he suddenly became the greatest Trump bootlicker you've ever seen. It makes me sick, frankly, to listen to this. So that's what the media is all about. When has the media ever been anything other than fake news? Now, where does talk radio fit in with that? Talk radio of this kind fits in because we're supposed to be different than that. We're supposed to tell you the simple truth about things. We're supposed to give you the bottom line on everything from a point of view of a realist. Let's put it to you that way. A realist. This is really what's going on. This is what's really happening. This is who Obama is. This is who that one is. This is who I am. This is, it really is raining. The drought really is over. Okay? Obama did back the terrorists in Syria. Obama did try to start a war with Russia. McCain is a lunatic trying to start a war with Russia because he's in the pocket of defense contractors. This is the kind of observation that you've come to desire because you have not had much of it. That's all. Nothing more than that. There's no greater statement I can make on it. 855-400-7282. Now, Gingrich is still around. I don't know why. He tried to get a job with Trump. I think he was ejected from the inner circle. He went in the elevator once. Took a roundering ever since. For a while, Gingrich was thought to be, they were going to make something out of him. But Gingrich, although he was a very smart man, lost his credibility somewhere along the road. Somewhere along the road, Gingrich lost his credibility, and Trump was wise enough to see that and didn't appoint him. But in this following clip, in clip 5, Gingrich talks about the Chicago beating, and I think he makes sense. Let's hear it.
If this had been done to an African-American by four whites, every liberal in the country would be outraged, and there'd be no question but that it's a hate crime. So let's be clear about this. We are right at the edge of a terrible period, which I know President-elect Donald Trump wants to avoid, of having deep, bitter division in the communities in a way that makes America very hard to govern.
Well, he's right. There's nothing you can say about that that isn't right. And yet we have the old crank, the old communist from Katz's Delicatessen, Bernie Sanders. You know, guys like Bernie Sanders are not a mystery to me. I grew up running from men then. They were always in the perimeter of the family situation. There was always a crank social worker or a loser or a teacher somewhere or someone who flopped in the garment center, someone who invested wrong in real estate, someone bet on the wrong stock. The guy who had tuna fish stains on the pocket of his suit. The guy who spritzed you in the face as he talked to you and poked you in the chest, held your lapel and gave you a banging with the finger while he talked about the wonders of communism and socialism. So now Bernie Sanders, who thinks he's going to be president, comes back in clip 7 to say that the Republicans are out of touch with America, not him. Listen to this one.
On virtually every major issue facing the people of this country, whether it is cutting Social Security or expanding Social Security, whether it's raising the minimum wage, whether it's pay equity, rebuilding our infrastructure, the American people want to go forward in a progressive way. They want, Republicans want, the wealthiest people to stop paying their fair share of taxes. The truth is, again, and I say this not in a particularly partisan way, the Republican ideology is way out of touch with where ordinary Americans are. Our
he
job is to bring the American people into the process and say, right, do you really want to give huge tax breaks to the billionaires and cut Social Security and Medicare.
Yes.
The American people
do
not want that to happen. And our
job is
to mobilize them through social media, through
mobilize
on the streets.
Mobilize, a Jesse Jackson phrase. Mobilize. Sanders, your days of mobilization are over. I know that there's a vacancy right now in a Boca Raton old age home. I think that for $55,000 down, you can get yourself a nice room down there. And you could watch, television around the clock, eat jelly beans, and write your memoirs, which will be read somewhere in Latvia, over a latke. So he's out there now trying to make trouble, Sanders. That's that. And here it comes. Sanders is now going to tell us exactly what he intends to do in the next couple of years in the United States of America, in saying he's going to plan a resistance against Donald Trump. And I'll tell you what I think should be done with Sanders in a minute in clip 8.
The way we're going to stop Trump is not just inside the Beltway. You need an outside the Beltway strategy. What that means is that on January 15th, for the first time in the modern history of the Democratic Party, Democrats are going to be organizing rallies all across this country.
Good for you.
In opposition to the Republican budget.
Right,
and what Democrats increasingly understand is you
nothing.
Can't just go to fundraisers with wealthy people. You got to get out in the real world. You got to mobilize people. You got to educate people. You got to listen to people.
Right.
And that is the transformation they need, which, by the way, is why I am strongly supporting Keith Ellison to be the new chair of the DNC.
So here's a Jew supporting a Muslim to be the chairman of the DNC. Now, if that's not an example of mental illness, I'd like to know what is. How's that for cutting to the chase? Here you've got an ethnic Jew who doesn't believe in God until he ran for president. Then he suddenly found out he did believe in God. He even went to Israel. He made the put the shmata on the wall there, touched the holy wall and came back. They all have to go to Israel and touch the wall. A diehard atheist, a communist from the get-go. And now he's supporting Keith Ellison, a man who was a friend of the Muslim Brotherhood. It's unbelievable what this man really is. And then he goes on to attack the new president of the United States, this sore loser, in clip 9. Listen to this now.
I think there are legitimate reasons to be afraid. I mean, this guy will have his finger on the nuclear button. I think what it is important, though, is to remember there have been very, very difficult times in American history. And we've had a very rocky history. And I ask people who say, oh, things are so awful today. Well, 60, 70 years ago, black kids in the South were going to segregated schools, could not drink in a white water fountain. People fought back.
Get out the violin now. Yeah, all right. All right. Now you're right. It would have affected you personally 70 years ago. 70 years ago, you were worried about the fact that they couldn't drink in a white water fountain. Why don't you say something about the Facebook streaming images that everyone in the world is talking about, Bernie? Now we have to, look, the day wouldn't be complete unless we went to the Big O himself. And after 8 years of abusing the American people, violating the trust of the American people, abusing a taxpayer in every way you could imagine, vacations, the abuse of the White House, parties that he charged you for without releasing any of the guest lists. Listen to clip number 10 about what Obama will miss most once he leaves the presidency.
So although I recognize that the formalities require me listening to praise directed in large part to me, I want to turn the tables. I am still commander-in-chief.
Ooh, hey.
And so I get to do what I want to do, and I want to thank you.
Oh, God.
Of all the privileges of this office, and there are many, I will miss Air Force One, I will miss Marine One.
Okay, stop right. Okay, are you listening to this? Can you believe what he just said? He will miss Air Force One and Marine One. That's his big loss. There's nothing you can say to a thing like this. How he can stand there and call himself Commander-in-Chief of the military is a mark of the failure of our system. That's the most important point to remember. When did it happen in American political history that a man who never served in the military could become commander-in-chief of the military? When did that transition occur? Does anyone know out there? All right, I know when it happened. So what? Well, I'm just playing stuff for you. It's a Thursday of the first week back, and there's plenty of stuff out there. And I think it's good for you to hear it. Now, the day wouldn't be complete unless I played for you the director of the National Intelligence Agency, James Claphead, saying that Russia changed votes, still looking for a war with John McCain, in an orchestrated hearing that occurred yesterday, where John McCain, the Manchurian candidate, gives out leading questions to all of the sleeper cells inside our intelligence community, which is why Trump's going to throw them all out. Again, I don't know what's left for a guy like Clapper after a thing like this. I don't know where they could use him, maybe a commentator on Don Lemon's show on national security in Latvia. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Now back to Michael Savage on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Now, the day would not be complete unless we played for you the Hollywood Idiot of the Day sound and read you the Hollywood Idiot of the Day statement. So, Robert, let's hear it. Here we go on the Savage Nation.
And now, the Savage Nation Hollywood Idiot of the Day.
And the winner is Lindsay Lohan, who wrote a poem about fixing ISIS minds. That's right, Lindsay Lohan, the literary genius, wrote a poem about the Syrian refugee crisis Tuesday in which she wrote of a desire to help fix, quote, idle ISIS minds. The 30-year-old moron posted the short poem to her Instagram account on Tuesday, and I'm going to read it to you because it challenges the words of Chaucer or Shakespeare. It's actually better than anything any of the great old white males have written, and that's why I'm going to read it on a national show. She wrote this. It is so touching and so poignant. Sometimes I hear the voice of the one I love the most, but in this world we live in of terror, who I am to be the girl who was scared and hurt. When most things that happen I cannot explain, I try to understand. I don't understand any of what she just said. It's not even iambic diameter, never mind iambic pentameter. It has no diameter to it. She goes on and says, when I'm sitting in bed alone at 3 a.m. so I can't sleep, I roll over. Is she not having sex at 3 a.m.? I can't think and my body becomes cold, roll over and older and colder. Then I realize at least I am in a bed. I am still alive, so what can really be said? Okay, I can't go on. That is the Hollywood Idiot of the Day, Lindsay Lohan, who wrote a poem about fixing ISIS minds. Oh, I have to conclude it. So she wants to try to fix ISIS, and she wants to share her smiles and give them kisses. Mmm. Well, we have an answer for that one, old Lindsay. We can ask you to please never write another poem again as long as you live. Check yourself into rehab as soon as possible. ISIS, she's going to cure with love. You hear this? A little love. Yeah, you get the picture. Cold snap to bring chilly temps and light snow to New York City. Duh. It's January. It's going to snow in New York City. You hear this? It's a news story. In California, we had 8 feet of snow last week, and Jerry Brown hasn't come out of the Capitol building and found out the drought is over. Celebrities call for a month of resistance to fight fascist Trump. Rosie O'Donnell, Ed Asinine are among the dozens of fools who will do a month-long protest to stop Trump. Good luck.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. You're listening to Michael Savage. Coming up at 3, it's Mark Levin on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
You know, for years I wrote a book in 06 called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. Now listen to this story. Lawyer says an Afghan murderer who attacked cops with a claw hammer did so because driving on the left side of the road in Britain was stressful for him. And see, that's the thing. An Afghan migrant who had been convicted of beheading a woman in the Netherlands walked unchecked into the UK, where he went on to brutally attack two police officers with a claw hammer. But his attorney said his actions were defensible. because he said the offense was committed at a time of stress for my client, as he was in a foreign country, and he was very confused by the vehicles driving on a different side of the road. See, there it is. Liberalism is a mental disorder. Now you know why the Brexit vote passed, but it doesn't stop the fools who destroyed England from continuing to destroy England. Out of Italy, we have a terrible story. Italian Catholic priest accused of hosting orgies in church rectory and pimping out up to 15 women. I said this has to be a made-up story, but it's in a very reliable newspaper, the New York Daily News, and it came from Italy. An Italian Catholic priest is under investigation, and they're investigating Father Andrea Contin, a 48-year-old parish priest at the Church of San Lazzaro in Padua, for living off immoral earnings and psychological violence following complaints from three female parishioners. A variety of sex toys, pornography obscured with covers featuring the names of past popes. and videos reportedly showing orgies taking place on the church premises have been seized by police, according to local media. The 48-year-old priest also allegedly pimped out up to 15 women on wife-swapping websites and enjoyed expensive holidays with his lovers in exotic locations, including Croatia, France, and Austria. A bishop first received complaints, but Lacan was asked to leave the parish pending a thorough investigation. So you see. Well, this is a shocking story, that a priest would host orgies in a church rectory. However, please don't get mad at me for knowing history. There was a time in the history of the Catholic Church where they had fallen on rough times financially, where this was quite common. You don't want to hear it. I get it. But, you know, you look back in history, we're living through is a very odd time that these things happen so infrequently. Here's another one for you. Bookstore charges browsing fee. This is right up my alley. A British bookshop owner who asked customers for a 50 pence browsing fee has been branded the bookseller from hell. He makes a request to find out whether visitors are serious about buying books, but does not actually collect the money. Now, I got to tell you something. I think there should be a browsing fee here in America. I'm a writer. I'm best-selling books. So I go into Barnes & Noble. I never look at when my books are out, I never go in the store because I just don't. I go in maybe once a week. I go in and buy magazines. Is what I do. I buy car magazines, Hemmings Motor News, Flying Magazine, Military History, the same kind of magazines every time I go in there. Look for the latest edition. Inevitably, there's an older white male eating a piece of, like a donut he brought from home. Actually, he brings he doesn't even buy the cake from the cafe they have in the Barnes & Noble. He brings it in from like Dunkin' Donuts. He thumbs through 50 magazines, which he has in a stack on the table. He drops crumbs into the magazines. I see the same with books. They thumb books. They thumb magazines. I am the kind of guy, I get agitated over that. It disturbs my bourgeois sense of order. I got to tell you that right now. Do you buy magazines that are thumbed? Would you buy a magazine that has someone like a greasy finger on the top of its turn? No, you push it to the back. Why shouldn't they charge a browsing fee? Tell me why. What is it, a library? It's a business. I'm sorry. I believe that the browsing fee is long overdue in America. We'll put a stop to this nonsense. I'm not saying it's a great big problem in my life, but certainly something that is a cultural issue. Michael Savage's Trump's War. I told you about it, but I'm not going to tell you about it until it's available for you to buy. In a few days, I got the cover yesterday. It's really a great cover. But we don't have it up yet for you to look at it. So, yeah, what's the point of having you to go look for it when it's not there? What a great cover. Captures live stream beating of disabled man as onlooker slams Trump and whites. Second torture video shows teen forced to drink from toilet. Jihadists train and plan U.S. attack from Mexican border state of Nuevo León. This is all on my website, michaelsavage.com. Let's see. Michael Savage newsletter. Savage accepts Hall of Fame award on the left. It's an interesting picture of me behind the award. 54 people shot during first 4 days of 2017 in gun control Chicago. Macy's cutting 6,200 jobs, closing 68 stores. I put that up there for a number of reasons. I mean, I grew up with Macy's. You know, I come from a lower middle class background. And although I could shop in the most expensive stores in the world, I actually go to Macy's. I still look for bargains. I can't help it. It's in my blood. You know, it's a funny thing is that when you grow up poor, you remain frugal all your life. Not for everyone, I don't think. Some of them show off, though, and buy, like, very expensive things, and they throw clothing out. I can't throw anything out. I have clothing, I think, from 10 years ago that I never wore. Some of them I find unopened. If I bought them on sale, I put them in a drawer, and I find, like, a shirt from 10 years ago with the tag and the wrapper. I haven't even opened the thing because it was on sale. I bought it. I won't wear it. Macy's an interesting store today. It looks so shoddy. The one near me where I live, if I go in there, you know, it looks like I feel like I'm in Poland before the war, like before Glasnost. It's like a seedy, like you look at the tile, they don't polish the floor. You know, it's like the racks are bad. The mannequins even look sad and tired. You know, you notice that? Like the mannequins look depressed in Macy's. It's like they know they're about to be thrown into a fire soon if you go in there. The mannequins, the perfume is off. Everything looks bad. Like the women's shoes look like they were... How do you describe a bad woman's shoe department? I can't explain it. Let me see if I can describe the difference between a good woman's shoe department and a bad woman's shoe department. Okay, you go to Nordstrom, so you see like Manalo and all the other brands. Crazy prices, $500, $1,200 for a shoe. I have no idea why women pay that much for a shoe. I don't understand it. I could understand it. I can. I don't get it because there are cheaper knockoffs that look the same. Okay, but women have a fetish with shoes for some reason, and they buy them. They spend their last dollar on a shoe. But you go to Macy's and look at the women's shoe, the racks, like the cheap racks. Have you done that? Try to match up a 9.5 with a... It's amazing what they have out there for like $9, $6, $1.30. It looks like Fiji. It looks like you're shopping in Tonga in the Macy's of today. Netanyahu calls for soldier convicted of manslaughter in the shooting death of Palestinian assailed to be pardoned. All right, I don't even want to go into it. I don't do Israel stories. You can't win with that. You know, I don't do an Israel story because it's a given that Israel should survive. It's a given that Israel's the best country in the Middle East. It's a given that the Jews built something out of a desert sand and the Arabs are jealous of them. It's a given there will never be a solution to the... Because the Palestinians just the other day turned down a two-state solution. They're not going to be happy until the Jews are kicked into the sea. Now, you know where that's going to end up. The Jews are not going in the sea so fast. So there is an answer to that one if they don't want a two-state solution. The answer is a one-state solution, the Jewish state. And then Jordan and Lebanon and Saudi Arabia are going to have to take all the Palestinians. But they don't want them, and it's never going to happen. So there's no solution to that. Secondly, the Palestinians are going to rightly say it's their homeland. And they've been there since the age of their ancestors. That is true. Okay, so what are you going to do with that problem? Trump cannot solve that problem. No way he can solve it. Which is why I don't talk about it. How can you talk about a problem for which there is no solution? There's no point to it. That's all. What is this? Oh, again, they're on my website coming with the answers. Oh, here, they came up with the new comments already. Dr. Savage, thank you a trillion times for everything you've shared, especially this awful story. I knew in my heart these thugs would not get justice. But we've all exposed them just like Obama. Oh, he's talking about that. Yeah. They're minority kids, Mike. We can't expect them to live by the standards of an oppressive, racist, white supremacist culture. Who are we to judge? We should consider this a teachable moment about Trump encouraging hate. Can't wait to see how this is covered on the network evening news. Will it be the lead story, or will it follow two or three special reports of Trump tweeting about the media? Oh, this is interesting. Greetings, Dr. Savage, says me, Mesmo. I've a scientific question for you. There's a direct relation, oh, is there any direct relation with the low levels of testosterone of our youth and the gluten-free diet that Michelle Obama promoted? Yes, absolutely. As a result of the vegan diets, testosterone levels have dropped precipitously. Any other questions? If you want your son to act like a man, go and buy him a hamburger every day, 5 days in a row. Just get him a burger 5 days. Let him eat some meat. Maybe he'll stop slumping around the house and looking like a daughter. Lemon drop gets drunk every New Year celebration. It's a trend. A quirk of the structure of the English language science could change the way you see the world. I know what this one means. Someone tried to be so smart, no one even knows what he wrote. What is the name of the disabled white man that was held captive and tortured? Michael, I think very highly of you. A long story about Adam and Eve in the garden. That came up, a lot of them. People want to talk about the Garden of Eden. Hey, Michael, Trump owes you big time. He hasn't filled the U.S. ambassadorship to the U.K. position. I'm curious, if offered, would you take it? Of course I'm being factious. But I'd love to see the expression on Jackie Smith's face. Hey, thanks for remembering Jackie Smith. I would say about a year into Trump's presidency, I'm actually going to appeal to him to do something on the British pardon thing to see if he can get me off the hate list. We'll see. Maybe he'll do it. Maybe he won't. What's the difference? I'll go to England. Let's run through that together. Let us say that once Trump is settled in and he's taking care of big things and he has the time to look at things like that, and he's, all right, come on in the White House or whatever, meet me at Mar-a-Lago. And I say, look, there's one thing I want. I was unfairly put on the hate list by these socialists in England in 09. And I can't go to England. I'm not allowed in there. Would you see if you could lobby to get me off? Okay, so let's say he does, and let's say they take my name off because it never should have been on to begin with, right? What would I do? I go to England for what? What am I going to do there? I have no reason to go to England anymore. I went years ago. I used to love it. The city I liked the most was Bath, England. These 18th-century attached houses, stunningly beautiful architecture. I loved England at the time, but with all the burqas now, I mean, what am I going there for? I don't speak Arabic, so I'm going to have trouble ordering food to begin with. If I want pita bread, I can go down to Ellis Street here in San Francisco. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Thank you for listening to the show on Really Big Something Channel.
Michael Savage, weekdays from noon to 3 on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
I'm back. It's the Savage Nation. Now, this story is so sick, it could only come from Fox Comedy. Fox Comedy is featuring a 6-year-old trans boy wearing a bondage gag. And in this so-called comedy put out by the sickest vermin in Hollywood, in other scenes they show the boy dressing like a girl, 6 years old now, and commenting how the dress he's wearing kind of breezes on my vagina. This came from Chris Menahan of Information Liberation. And I'm going to tell you more about this sickening new comedy on Fox featuring a 6-year-old boy wearing a bondage gag. I will tell you who created it and how sick these people are, the Chernin boys. But first, a word from our sponsor, because right now Chamonix is having their Esotique XV inventory clearance sale. And if you want to look 15 or 20 years younger, I want you to pick up the phone right now and order Esotique XV because the results are amazing. Here's Donna from Kingsville, Maryland. She says, I love Chamonix products. They absorb nicely without residue. And I look at least 10 years younger than women my age. You see, Esotique XV is better than anything you can find in department stores. You know why? Simple. Plant stem cells, natural peptides, hyaluronic acid, and flower extracts. They're amazing ingredients in a proprietary base delivery system that happens to guarantee quick, clean absorption for maximum results. I want you to order Esotique XV and get Genucel for bags and puffiness and the legendary deep firming serum absolutely free. How? Call 800-SKIN-891. That's 800-SKIN-891. If you call now, shipping is also free. Wow. That's 3 free gifts for trying Esotique XV today. You're going to be amazed or you get your money back, right? Don't wait. The offer won't be around forever. So you call 800-SKIN-891. That's 800-SKIN-891. Or you go to xvbeauty.com. www.xvbeauty.com. That's 800-SKIN-891. And now back to the sickening new comedy show on Fox featuring a 6-year-old boy wearing a bondage gag. And this is not a gag. The boy, who is apparently transgendered, is shown wearing the gag after burning his tongue licking a hot grill at a Benihana-style restaurant. The Fox show is named The Mick or something. It aired on January 1st, 2017. Take a guess who wrote it. It was created by the sons of Hollywood sicko executive Peter Chernin by his 2 offspring, David Chernin and John Chernin. Other scenes in this so-called comedy show the little boy dressing like a girl and commenting how the dress he's wearing, quote, kind of breezes on my vagina. Another scene shows the boy celebrate after a man's eye is impaled in front of him by a woman's high-heeled shoe. As blood is shooting on the boy's face and clothes, he exclaims, cool. Another scene highlighted by Newsbusters shows one of the characters awkwardly praising Planned Parenthood, providing how they, quote, provide health care to over 3 million women in the country. This is the kind of filth. This is the sewer pipe of Hollywood that I've been warning you about. So, you know, although Trump won and Obama's out the door, we are still getting the backflow from the toilet of the 8 years of Obama. The cesspool of Hollywood is now overflowing into the homes of America. I have a question for you. How is this not child abuse? How is it not child abuse? If you allow these Hollywood psychopaths to openly abuse and degrade a six-year-old, tell me this is not child abuse. Moreover, how do you feel about this sewage being pumped into our televisions? This trans BS has been put into our heads for a long time, but it reached a peak under Obama. This is child violence. This is child violence. It's child abuse. Now, I got to tell you this. There comes a point where you've got to do more than just turning off your TV and disconnecting the trash. I could go on and on about it. But the fact, where can a show like this put out by the worst filth in American history, the lowest scum of the planet, in Brentwood, in Beverly Hills? What's next? Someone wrote, Jennifer visits Planned Parenthood at 5, but during a checkup she finds out she has an STD, and how will she tell her family? Meanwhile, a 7-year-old hooks up with a 40-year-old traveling salesman that he met on the internet. Is that what's coming next from the sewer factory of Hollywood?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Black teens hit with hate crime charges for torturing white special needs man. Now, of course, the Chicago police initially dragged their heels, no doubt because of pressure from Rahm Emanuel, who didn't want to upset the community. But nevertheless, when you watch the video of the black teens torturing this white kid who is disabled, mentally disabled, who they kidnapped from McDonald's, made him drink toilet water, scalped him, tortured him, you ask yourself a few questions. And then you listen to the fools in the media and you say to yourself, now you understand why Donald Trump won. I don't know what you can say about this story. They torture a special needs boy, 18 years old, who they kidnapped from McDonald's. Apparently, they knew this kid from school. They terrorized the white mentally disabled man in Chicago. Then they streamed the footage online. Jordan Hill, I don't want to read the names. That doesn't mean anything what their names are. They have been charged with a hate crime after much foot-dragging by the Chicago police. The question is, what can you say about this? What are we going to say about a thing like this? What can you say? Well, I'll tell you what you can say. When you turn on MSNBC and you got Don Lemon, CNN, you got Don Lemon saying that they're not evil. Not evil at all. The suspects simply had bad home training. That's something to talk about. Or you turn on MSNBC and you listen to an idiot who worked for Bernie Sanders, whose name is Sanders, by the way, a person who is of no intelligence. There's no sign of any intelligence. Just a motor mouth that they dug up somewhere. She goes on and on, worse than him. Worse than him, saying it was Donald Trump's fault for bringing up hateful language over the last year. What can you say about a thing like this? Tell me. What is there to say about a thing like this that you haven't? Simone Sanders says that she's not sure the Chicago torture video is a hate crime. Not sure at all. Listen to her in clip one again if you missed it. This is a CNN panelist saying that she blames Trump for racist torture of the mentally disabled man. Listen to her in clip one.
I just want to remind folks that we cannot sit here and ignore that for at least for the last year, on very public display, the worst parts of America have been brought from the fringe into the mainstream. So that affects people on both sides. We've talked about white nationalists and white supremacists and the KKK, but there are also this, when this inflammatory
right there. She's repeating the rhetoric that her boss, Barack Obama, said in much more skillful language. But Obama basically has put out the same thing for about eight years now. Obama's been putting out the same lie about racism being the motivating driving force for acts like this, and worse yet. In fact, we can say that he hasn't stopped yet. Just yesterday, the president himself wrote a lengthy essay on criminal justice reform in the Harvard Law Review, where once again, this community organizer, this disturber of the peace, argued that Americans should recognize systemic racism in the system. He did it again. He defended his decision to release 1,324 prisoners during his presidency through pardons or clemency. So Obama himself has been practicing a form of jihad against sanity and against the legal system for 8 straight years. So what do you expect when you get ignoramuses like this? When they hear the president himself putting out speeches for 8 years, after 8 years of Holder and Obama, what do you expect those at the bottom to do but to release their inner demons? So if you want to blame somebody, I would say don't blame Donald Trump. Don't blame those of us who voted for Trump. Blame those at the top of the pyramid who are dispelling and dispensing hatred on a daily basis. I don't think you'll ever overcome your disgust for the human race. Forget race altogether. Just that this kind of humanity exists. I mean, we all heard about what ISIS was doing. But can you believe this is being done in Chicago right now? Well, you better believe it. And they're being egged on by people like Don Lemon. But CNN's Don Lemon, a low-ranked, very, very low wattage. If you were buying light bulbs in a hardware store, and let's say Don Lemon was a light bulb. Let's put it to you this way. You have a choice of wattage. There's a 50, 100, 150, there's a 60, there's a 57, there's 20s, then there's fan bulbs. This guy has lower wattage in between his ears than a fan bulb does. Let's put it to you that way. Maybe a fiver. At the top, a 5-watter. But because he looked somewhat like Obama, they hired him a number of years ago. So after the torture is seen of the white 18-year-old special needs kid being bound and gagged, being made to drink toilet water, Don Lemon goes on the air and says that it's not a hate crime. It was not evil. He said the suspects just simply had bad home training. I'm not making this up. Now, anyone else would be fired. I want to reverse this for you. If a special needs black youth, 18 years old, was kidnapped by 4 white teens and made to say things such as F black people, F Obama, and be made to drink from toilet water, and a white host goes on the air and says, "Ah, that's not evil. It's just that those white boys had bad home training. Tell me if that person would have a job two minutes later." Why is Don Lemon protected by the fools who run CNN? The answer is pretty clear. Let's listen to the host, Don Lemon, who should be fired immediately for this lack of judgment on the Savage Nation.
I don't think it's evil. I don't think it's evil. I think these are young people, and I think they have bad home training. I think that when I say who is raising these young people, I have no idea who's raising these young people because no one I know.
All right,
on earth.
So it's not evil. It's not. They had bad home training. Bad home training. So in other words, when a pit bull attacks a child or rips it to shreds, it wasn't evil of the pit bull. It was the bad home training of the people who own the pit bull. I've heard that before. Or ISIS, when ISIS put people while they were alive in cages and set them on fire. That wasn't evil, Don. That was bad home training, reading, let's say, the Holy Book upside down and backwards. Right, Don? You know, we just averted a war with Russia because of the psychotic in the White House. They moved them out already. I saw the moving truck over the weekend on TV. Well, they're moving all that stuff. They should take the walls and the floors with them and the drapes because something tells me Mrs. Trump is going to redecorate. Because if you look at Trump Tower, you think she's going to want to move in a house that George Washington lived in? Maybe it's renovated a couple of times. It looks like a dump to me, most of the rooms. Moldy. You get like a mold attack in the White House. They need to gut it down to the studs. Probably black mold inside the in the beams, in the studs. Imagine if they redo it in some garish fashion with, like, marble, and he changes the facade to a marble facade. What would happen? And he puts a big T on top of the White House. That would be so amazing. It's a dump. They really ought to start making a new White House altogether. Start from. It's cheaper, I know, from contractors to build from scratch than to renovate. Renovation is very costly. What is wrong with that idea? Why must they live in the White House? It's so antiquated. What other world leader lives in a dump like that? Okay, the antiques are nice. I would make a bid on some of the paintings, the statues in there, maybe a couple of tapestries. But it's a dump. Okay, you got the electronics on the roof. You could save that for the new building. I think Trump should consider running the country out of Trump Tower in Mar-a-Lago, and they should raise the White House and build a new one. Something like in our century, instead of the big deal, the White House. What's the whole thing with Jefferson was there? Al Sharpton slept there. I mean, why would you even want to keep a place like that with what this guy just had there in the White House? Let me not go into details. If you ever saw the movies of what went on in that White House over the last 8 years, you also would call for raising it. No, I mean, I'm being leveling with you. One of my appeals happens to be my the gift that God gave me in my voice, okay? That's the truth. So, okay, so you could say there's an alpha male element to the voice and people like it, they relate to it. It's called a command voice, if you have a loud voice. It can get you into a lot of trouble, as I've said to you before, but it also can lead people, which is nice. You can do a good talk show with it. But where does the command voice come from but an abundance of testosterone? This does not mean that there are not men with high-pitched voices who can, you know, knock me around the room. I know. I've met them. I've met guys with squeaky, womeny voices who are like Adonis people. I'm not saying it's a given. But if you sound like Fredo, you pretty much know what you're going to get. The liberals are in a total panic. The idiot Hollywood idiots, the potheads, the druggies are all screaming that Trump's no good. They're terrified. These are the same morons who pretended they were anti-war, who were supporting Obama in his hatred for Russia and Putin. I went on the air last Friday, and I gave a speech that was heard around the world. If you missed it, I said, this message is for the Russian people. I wish we had that. It's a very important tape. You say, well, they didn't hear you. You don't think you're so important. They hear me. I said, I speak for millions of American people. We do not hate the Russian people. We like the Russian people. We like Vladimir Putin. We do not want war. Only the warmongers like Obama and McCain and Lindsey Graham, who are tied into the contractors who build weaponry, want war. I gave it on Friday, so we missed the war with Russia. There's a poster I put up on michaelsavage.com. You must see it. This was Hermann Göring, one of the chief Nazis, during the Nuremberg trials in 1946, and he said, naturally, the common people don't want war, neither in Russia nor in England nor in America, nor for that matter in Germany. That is understood. The people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them that they are being attacked. It works the same way in any country. So, you know, you could say, you know, politics to this. It's great. I love it. I love following it. But, you know, at a certain point, how much can you say? He won. We won the election. You understand we won. So now what's the challenge we have right now is to make sure that Trump is not steered to the left by the rhinos who are already trying to do it. In the middle of the night, the other night, they tried to pass an ethics reform bill, which would have gutted the ethics committee. Okay? But because Trump got angry at them, they withdrew it. So it just shows you the battle he has ahead, which is why I wrote Trump's War, which will be out in late February. I told you about it today. You know, Trump's War, Trump's War, Trump's War, Trump's War. Instant bestseller, I know it. The minute I conceived of the title, I knew it was going to do well. I understand that. I'm not desperate about it. It'll be a home run because everybody needs that book to remember what it is we elected him for. More importantly, it's for his team and for Congress, as well as for us to show it work. So we're not going to be browbeaten by Bruce Springsteen and a bunch of dumb actors. We want what we want, and we won. It doesn't matter. They lost. Now they better get used to it. We're near, we're here, we're everywhere. We are everywhere. We are everywhere. Where everywhere you look, we won. You don't run the game anymore. We do. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You're listening to Michael Savage. Coming up at 3, it's Mark Levin on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
So France is overrun by Muslim terrorists, and the cowards in the French Parliament, instead of banning the importation of Muslim murderers, they banned spanking kids. The French Parliament has passed a formal ban on spanking children. Can you believe this? Unbelievable to me. All of these pacifist, liberal, stupid laws. I never spanked my kids, by the way. I don't think you need to spank them in order to be a good parent. But to outlaw spanking kids? Why don't you spank the politicians instead? Publicly spank them. Pull their pants down and spank them in public. Maybe they'll get the message to stop destroying your country, that's all. But it gets even better. Here is a bigger fool. That in my, you're not going to believe this one. Here is a panelist who used to work for Bernie Sanders. When she opens her mouth, if you actually looked at her, you realize that if he has the brains of a, the wattage of a fan bulb, I would say that this one, only in my day could this one be on television. Where do you hear this one? She blames Donald Trump for the racist torture of the mentally disabled man, but because she is not white, again, she is not fired by CNN.
I just want to remind folks that we cannot sit here and ignore that for, at least for the last year, on very public display, the worst parts of America have been brought from the fringe into the mainstream. So that affects people on both sides. We've talked about white nationalists and white supremacists and the KKK, but there are also, this, when this inflammatory rhetoric is out there, when someone is repeatedly telling you that your community is the worst of the worst, it brings out the worst of the worst in people. And so I'm not defending what they did, what these young people did.
All right, we got the picture. This genius worked for Bernie Sanders. And now you understand who Bernie Sanders is, that he would cater to someone of this low level. And I could put her down from today until tomorrow. It wouldn't matter. You have to ask yourself why MSNBC has people like this spouting such stupidity and hatred. And the answer can only be a two-word answer, which is Phil Griffin. Phil Griffin hires them. Phil Griffin is the man behind them. Phil Griffin is the man who pays their salaries. Phil Griffin is the idiot. Phil Griffin is the man behind these foolish individuals. Okay, what can you make of a story like this? You got the racist torture of a mentally disabled white man by four black teens. And initially, the Chicago police would not charge them with hate crimes for torturing the special needs man. They said it was just stupid behavior until eventually the voices became so loud that even the Chicago Police Department had hit them with hate crime charges for torturing the white special needs man. Now, that is a big story. It's not really as big a story as John McCain trying to start World War III. John McCain is a scene he's doing. You talk about a sick man. John McCain is about as evil as they come, trying to start a war with Russia. But that's a secondary story compared to this. If you care to chime in on the hate crime having been committed over there in Chicago, and Don Lemon saying, I don't think it was evil, and the genius who worked for Bernie Sanders saying it's because of Donald Trump's rhetoric that the four black teens tortured the poor white boy, tell me what you think about that. I think it's worthy of a conversation, and we're going to have this conversation on this program right now, because the Soviet-style propaganda machine that was nonstop, a nonstop megaphone until Trump came along, must be stopped in its tracks. The Soviet propaganda machine that comes out of ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, and now, of course, Fox News, who has moved so far to the left that they're indistinguishable from CNN. In fact, CNN is probably more conservative than what Murdoch has done to Fox News.
Savage. You're listening to Michael Savage. Coming up at 3, it's Mark Levin on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
There's a bigger story out there. biggest story about war with Russia that McCain just can't seem to let it go. You know. By the way, you should be proud of the following. President Obama gave himself a Distinguished Public Service Medal yesterday. He gave it to himself. On Wednesday, President O added another prestigious medal to his Nobel Prize collection when he had the fool Defense Secretary Ash Carter, you know him, the man in the pink tie who prioritized transgender surgery in the military, gave him the Department of Defense Medal for Distinguished Public Service. I've never heard of this in my lifetime. I never heard of it, actually, a man awarding himself a medal. I was wondering what it was he was wearing yesterday during a speech. And a great ceremony. Gave himself an award. This is something, boy. I can't wait till he's gone. But there's a number of days left. I know the moving truck came. But God knows what he could do yet. No matter what he does, he can't provoke Russia into a military response. So we got to hold, you know, hold our breath here. What should we talk about? I got the callers lined up. It's not like I'm, you know, it's not that I don't have callers. We got plenty of them. But I think that for the CNN panelist to blame Trump for the racist torture of the mentally disabled white man, or for Don Lemon to say that it wasn't evil, they're just young people who had a bad home training, I mean, it tells you everything you need to know about the media. But before we take your calls on that, I think we have to play John McCain, the warmonger, the senile warmonger, who should be... Isn't there a senility test they could give in Congress? Who would write the test? That's the question. That would be an argument that would go on for 7 years. If you were to write a rational test for senility, it's clear that John McCain would flunk. Here's clip six of the most senile member of Congress, and a dangerous one, clip six.
Every American should be alarmed by Russia's attacks on our nation. There is no national security interest more vital to the United States of America than the ability to hold free and fair elections without foreign interference. That's why Congress must set partisanship aside, follow the facts, and work together to devise comprehensive solutions to deter, defend against, and when necessary, respond to foreign cyber attacks. As we do, we must recognize
you know,
that
he's
the
always been
Russian
the Manchurian
attacks
candidate.
Are one part
all right,
of a much
hold
bigger
it. Stop already. I've always felt McCain as the Manchurian candidate. He looked like he had been brainwashed in the Vietnamese prison and broken and then resent out to destroy America. And we have compassion for what he suffered those 5 years at the hands of those animals in the Hanoi Hilton. But when you listen to a thing like this, you realize that the man is something's wrong with him. For him to keep doing this. This is a much bigger story than the black teens hit with hate crime charges for torturing white special needs man. Admittedly, though, one is more emotional than the other. I get that. So, you know, there's a lot more to the story, but I don't know. It's too depressing to even look at. It's a terrible story. And what is the good of it? A disabled boy like this? He's got a double, by the way. This is a double hate crime. They did a hate crime against him with the white thing. And because he was disabled, and they knew him, so they knew he was disabled. The black teens were hit with hate crimes charges for torturing the white special needs man. The question is going to become, what is the punishment? That is the question. They can be charged all you want. But you and I both know, once this is, the lawyers get their mitts on it. Once the ACLU comes in there and the vermin on the left in the legal profession start shopping it around to a crazy, sympathetic left-wing judge, they're not going to pay a very high price for what they did to this poor boy. That's the real problem. So it's good to be emotional about it today, but I want to hear what happens 6 months from now when everyone forgets the story. But I'll tell you what the lawyer's going to do, is mark my words, because I can outthink virtually every lawyer in the country. That's why I chose not to be a lawyer. It was too boring. Just common sense is going to tell you what a liberal lawyer is going to do with this case. Are you ready for it? Settle back, because old Mike's putting on his a cap of jurisprudence, or shall I say the reverse of jurisprudence. You're going to get a liberal lawyer from Chicago, or maybe even worse yet, from New York. He's going to fly in, and he's going to say that these children themselves are disabled. That's why we cannot find them culpable for their crime. They didn't know what they were doing. And by fact that you hear the young girl laughing while they're torturing the white boy, indicates that she was not all there. She herself is disabled. And instead of trying finding them guilty, my friends, we should dismiss these charges immediately and give these poor black children the help that they need. They have slipped through the fingers of society. They have fallen through the cracks of this evil, racist society itself by not having been given the proper care from this society. And if this society had cared enough about our disabled people as it should, why, better care would have been afforded these poor young black children who grew up in such abject poverty without a father at home that they could only wind up this way. And so I would move you, Your Honor, to dismiss all the charges immediately. That's just a thumbnail sketch of what is going to happen when this comes before. It won't even get to a court. Watch what happens downstream. Mark, make a recording of what I just said. So it's guys like Don Lemon on television, Bernie Sanders. They're the ones who did this, by the way. I'm going to give you an example about the weather. I'll give you an example. Here in the Bay Area of California, we had rain. The reservoirs are overflowing. They might open up the sluice gates to let the water out. It's so high. And the schmucks in Sacramento who've been pushing the global warming lie, who for months in the spring and the summer were screaming about the drought isn't over. Governor Brown must not let the fountains run in San Francisco and in the cities of California anymore because the drought isn't over. Then the schmucks in the weather business were saying it's going to be an El Nino. It's going to be El Nino. We're not getting the water. So now that the water is coming in almost biblical amounts, and it's going to come back this weekend even more, suddenly the schmucks in the weather business are saying, now the reports in the news are, the Merced River is going to overflow. Rivers are overflowing. There's going to be flooding in Yosemite. So for 6 months it was drought. Now they're warning you that there's flooding. And you're supposed to believe a word that comes out of the mouth of the meteorologists of our time, or of the liberal establishment that has put forth the big lie about global warming and drought so long that they believe it themselves? Do you understand what this has to do with black teens hit with hate crime charges for torturing white special needs man? I had a brother who, let us say, had his issues, and I know what it's like to live with someone who is helpless. You're talking about helpless. Helpless, helpless, helpless. To do this to a helpless person is what the woman was crying about. But I can't let myself go there. You know, I've hardened myself to a lot of things in my life personally as a result of my childhood and, you know, my raising a brother who was like that. It turns you into a different person. You can say a stronger person in some ways, but in some ways you lose something. You give something up. You know, to become stronger, you got to give up something. You understand that. It's true for all of us. You harden yourself in life, don't you? What do you lose when you harden yourself? You lose certain things, but that's what has to be done for you to live. Look at the chicken coming out of an egg. I don't want to go into one of my soliloquies, but I will for the minute. Look at a chicklet, the embryonic chicklet, as it tries to come out of the shell. Now, if you watch that chicklet trying to get out of the shell and you try to help it, the chicklet will die. It has to struggle in order to get out of that shell on its own, or it can't even walk. My father taught me that when I was a youngster. Did you know that? See, he was trying to teach me a lesson about life. It's something you have to teach your children. If you turn them into snowflakes, they're not going to be able to survive in this world. If you continuously shelter your children from every evil by not letting them see the stories of evil and by not getting them ready for what they're going to face in the world, in their own lives, in the country, in the world, you're going to turn them into that chicklet who cannot come out of that eggshell. That child will not survive, thrive. If that child will survive physically, it will not thrive in the world. It's impossible. Now, I want to backtrack for a minute. You know how bad the governor of New York State is, Andrew Cuomo, right? You know how left-wing he is, right? Well, I mean left. Cuomo denounced that he was commuting the sentence of a Brinks robbery getaway driver, but you got to look into it. In a bombshell move, Governor Andrew Cuomo, the left-wing fanatic, on Friday, commuted the 75-year-to-life sentence of Judith Clark, the former Weather Underground radical who was convicted for her role in the infamous 1981 Brinks robbery in which two NYAC, New York police officers and an armored truck driver were killed. The clemency from the left-wing governor allows Clark, 67, to appear before the parole board for release in early 2017. How would you feel if you were a family member of the Nyack police officers who were killed because of this piece of garbage. But this doesn't stop left-wing fanatics, whether they're governors or presidents, from commuting sentences of their fellow travelers. Now, why would Cuomo do a thing like this? Why would he commute the sentence of a woman involved in the murder of police officers, no matter how long ago it was, when she is with the radical left-wing Weather Underground? Why would he reach out to the Weather Underground followers, most of whom today are old hippies somewhere in New York or San Francisco or Washington? What does he have to gain by doing it? Think about it. These people never go away. They're always around. Always around. And Obama is their perfect stepson. The perfect stepson of the Weather Underground is in the White House, still trying to provoke war somewhere on Earth. So, yeah, the main thing is, what did I say today that's so important? I said this, that the neocon ventriloquists are trying to create a war with Russia. And that transcends both parties. Liberals want war. It's big business for them. And, of course, the pseudo-conservs, Lindsey Graham, John McCain, I call them the neocon ventriloquists, and these people are deadly serious. And they are in the pocket of the defense contracting industry, in my estimation, and they're extremely dangerous. They did lose control over the New World Order, and they're not giving up so easily, and they do have many friends in the Republican Party who will still try to inject the policies that Hillary would have injected, incidentally. They want to do away with the border wall that Trump wants to build. They want to do away with the deportation of the illegal aliens in prison, even that. So the Republicans are just the same as the Democrat. The neocons and the liberals are no different in that regard. You know that. Again, let me make the main point I want to make. Let us say for a moment that the Russians did hack Hillary's emails and Podesta's emails, and even other DNC members, okay? Let's say they did hack them. We don't know whether they did or didn't. Let's assume they did. But even the intelligence agencies who work under Obama are not saying that they altered any of the messaging in the emails that they hacked. So what's the crime then? What, the crime is that the truth was exposed? That they were conspiring to destroy Bernie Sanders from the get-go? Yeah, but I guess that's a crime to criminals who get exposed. That's the reason you expel Russian diplomats, I guess. See what I'm saying? You see, look at the whole story. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You're listening to Michael Savage. Coming up tomorrow morning from 5 to 9, it's the KSFO Morning Show on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Now, something else happened. Harry said something about Israel that I really have not commented on yet. It's astounding. It's right out of Hitler's Third Reich. What Kerry said equals that of the most stupendously anti-Semitic speeches of the era that we thought was long behind us. He said that Israel can either be Jewish or democratic. It cannot be both. I laid awake in bed and said, wait a minute, that's like the Jewish blood libel. This is absolutely blood libel that Kerry put out. The hatred for the Jewish people is so apparent in Hillary's State Department. It's shocking. But Kerry, of course, has always been seen as this evil snake. So there's nothing new. But for the U.S. government to make a statement like that, no, it is not true that it can either be Jewish or democratic. Moreover, if Kerry was so obsessed with democracy, how come he didn't address the Iranian government? Why did he say that Iran can either be Islamic or democratic? It cannot be both. Why did he choose to hit Israel so hard? Why did he choose Israel? Because why? For the same reason that Heydrich chose the Jewish people for his venom. I want you to listen to the most anti-Semitic statement to have ever come out of an American government in clip number two. It's astonishing if you actually think about it.
Today there are a similar number of Jews and Palestinians living between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. They have a choice. They can choose to live together in one state, or they can separate into two states. But here is a fundamental reality. If the choice is one state, Israel can either be Jewish or democratic. It cannot be both. And it won't ever be at peace.
Stop right there. Stop it there. It cannot be both. Well, for one, he's lying. It is a democratic state right now. But you don't know that. Unless you've been to Israel, you don't know that. You don't know that the Palestinians live better in Israel than they live anywhere else on earth. And also you don't know that no other country on earth will take the Palestinians. For a reason, there's many reasons for it. Jordan won't take them. Egypt won't take them. None of the surrounding Arab nations want the Palestinians to live there. Because wherever they go, they try to take over the country because they're the smartest of all the Arab people. Incidentally, everyone knows that. Anyone who knows the Middle East knows that the Palestinians are the smartest of all of the Arab people. Look what they did in Lebanon. Would you invite people in who would try to overthrow your government? And so, okay, there it is. So to say that Israel can either be Jewish or democratic is perhaps the most anti-Semitic statement from any high-ranking American governmental official in the history of this nation. Think about that. Now think of who his boss is, the surfer, the smirking surfer who's trying to start a war with Russia. Think about how gravely dangerous these individuals are. It's terrible. Why is he doing it? Simple, simple, simple. He wants to become the president of the UN. The UN is a largely irrelevant body of fools that wastes trillions of dollars a year. It does nothing of any value. So the only justification for a United Nations would be wars, famine, things like that. And Obama wants something really hot to go in there for. He's not going to go there to just make sure that the starving people get food. He wants something really good to work with. So what would be better than a war? A nice war between, let's say, Israel and Iran, a nice war between Russia and the U.S., not nuclear, of course. Nothing like that. Just a few hundred thousand men dead on both sides. That would be a nice, good beginning for the laughing surfer to begin with in the United Nations. This is my opinion.
Savage.